Parshas Balak begins Kapitel Chav Beis Pasuk Beis Vayar Balak Ben Tzipor Eis Kol Asher Asa Yisrael Amori. Two simple questions. The Torah is going to go at length to tell us how Balak hires Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. Balak is a man on a mission. Number one, the Parsha is called Parshas Balak. Why is the Parsha called Parshas Balak? Parshas Balak is a Russian Marusha. He wants to destroy Klal Yisrael. Why would we name a Parsha after him? You have other questions. Why Kairach maybe? But Kairach was a tzaddik at one point. Balak, we see nothing good. Mm-hmm. Kairach's a different story, but you have to explain why there also. But Balak, it's of all things to call it Parshas Balak. Secondly, why does the Torah go to such details at such length to tell us all about what happened with Balak and Bilam? It's all about trying to curse Klal Yisrael, and Parshas Ribono Shel Olam didn't allow Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, and he had to give him brachas instead. Why isn't there just, if you want to tell us, give us a short synopsis? There was the two Rishon, Balak and Bilam, Balak hired Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, and Ribono Shel Olam didn't allow it. Why don't we go with length? We're going on and on and on. There's numerous psukim that goes on. I mean, for a good portion of the parasha, I mean, they keep on looking, going, and it keeps on talking about it. What is the significance? It's not till the end. We talk about Pinchas, but it's not the whole parasha. The Gurai says a pshat on the pasuk Kapitel Chav Gimel pasuk Gimel. The pasuk says, Vayemer ila Balak, lecho na'iti amokim acher asher tirena, mishom efes katzei esire, v'chul ila esire, v'kov na'ili mishom. Vayemer ila Balak, Balak told Bilam, he says, you know what you should curse Klal Yisrael? Go to a place where there aren't that many in Klal Yisrael, and curse Klal Yisrael over there. That was his ingenious einfall of what he, how Bilam should go and curse Klal Yisrael.
What does the difference does it make? How many people?
That's the question.
Are there?
That's the Gurai's question, and now has your question. And I want to know why are we telling him why specifically only a handful of people? The Gemara Brachas tells us that Bilam. What was Bilam's chayach? Bilam knew the exact time that the Ribono Shel Olam gets upset. The Ribono Shel Olam is because gets angry, however we can understand that the midah exists in Shemayim for a split second. Split second. If you do something in that time, if you curse someone, and Bilam was able to, if he was able to curse someone in that time, so then it would be chal, because there's a shas of din in the world. The Ribono Shel Olam is kariyachal upset. That was Bilam's kariyach. So the question is, why? First of all, before you want to know why he's only looking at part of Klal Yisrael.
Who is Bilam?
Yeah. Balak was hired by Bilam. Sorry, Bilam was hired by Balak to curse Klal Yisrael. Bilam was a sorcerer.
Oh.
Balak, it says, is the Melech. It actually doesn't say it in the beginning of the parasha, but it does tell us that Balak was the Melech, the Melech Lumayov. It tells us in the third pasuk in the parasha, and he was scared of Klal Yisrael, so he went and hired the sorcerer Bilam. Because Bilam had a koyach ha-peh of the mouth to curse Klal Yisrael. So, two questions the Maral has. Number one, why do you only pick a certain part? Ephes could say just part of Klal Yisrael. Secondly, why do you have to see them? So, what did Bilam's, what was his koyach? Was that he knew this split second that the Ribono Shel Olam was going to be upset, angry. And if you curse at that time, then it'll have to take hold. Now, in a split second, how much can you say?
Right.
How are you going to curse Klal Yisrael? Are you going to say, curse them? Who? So Balak was telling Bilam, you should look at Klal Yisrael. If you're looking at them, and Tosfos says, you should say the words Kalim. One word, Kalim. Split second, Kalim. Which means destroy them. If you're looking at Klal Yisrael, so obviously we know who you're saying should be cursed. Who should you wipe out?
Who was just going to say one word?
One word. Kalim. So Tosfos says. Kalim, one word. Now, he's going to sit now, why only part of Klal Yisrael? So he says, he explains that the pasuk in Vayikra Chav Vav Mem Dal says, "Va'av gam zeis biyosim be'eretz ayveihem le'ma'asim le'vigalpin le'chalosim le'haper bris yitam." The Rebbeinu Nishleim says he's never going to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. It's not going to happen. The entire Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed. Well, so what was he going to try to do? Just try to get part of Klal Yisrael. He never intended, Balak never wanted to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. Not that he didn't want to, but he knew that he couldn't. And what was Balak's problem? The pasuk says, "Vayar Balak ben tzipor eitz kol asher asa Yisrael le'mayri, vayogam mayav b'bnei Yom oy ki ravu." The reason why Balak wanted to do something to Klal Yisrael was ki ravu, because they were many, they were too many. If he can make them a little bit less, he knows to destroy them completely he couldn't, but they were robbed. They were too many. He had to minimize them. So he wanted Bilam to curse part of Klal Yisrael. And Ben Bachi says, very interesting, everyone knows the story, Kapitel Chabbeis, Pasuk Chavtes, Pasuk says, "Vayomer Bilam lo'osayim ki yisalalta bi lu yeshcher biyodi ki yata harakti." The Asoin, the donkey of Bilam, starts talking to him. And Ben Bachi says, can you imagine? You're driving your car, and your car stalls. You hit your car, and you say, "I can't believe I'm stuck." And then all of a sudden, the car starts talking to you. "Why'd you hit me?
No.
Oh, what are you doing? What's going on over here?" I think most people, you would think, would say, "Whoa.
Okay,
whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, my car is talking. You're not going to just start answering it. What does Bilam do?" He starts talking to it. They have a whole conversation back and forth. It's Philip Long. Ben Bachi says, is that itself showed you how focused Bilam was. He was so focused on his job of cursing Klal Yisrael, he didn't even know anything else was a side thing. Yeah, that the Austin is talking to him, anything else. This guy, when a person is focused, he has tunnel vision. He sees nothing on the right, nothing on the left. Even if it's right in front of him, and a donkey is talking to him, he should have said, "One second, what is going on here? The God is having a donkey talk to me. I probably shouldn't go through with it. I shouldn't try," but he was beyond focused. And that's why it's unbelievable, but he didn't even see that part. It says in the Yenison Ibishitz, in the Ferris Yenison, he says, and the Pasuk says, Balak tells Bilam not to worry. You should go. You have no worries. You should go and curse Klal Yisrael. What was he telling him? So Rabbeinu Sanhedrin says that we know there's a concept of ein shliach hadvar aveira. If somebody sends someone else and makes him a messenger to do an aveira, so the person who sent the shliach does not get an aveira. Ein shliach hadvar aveira. I can make you a shliach to do a mitzvah for me, and I get the mitzvah. But if I send you to do an aveira for me, you get the aveira. Why? Divrei HaRav, divrei HaTalmud, mishaymin loy. God told you not to do it. I am the Talmud, the Baruch Hashem is the Rav. I'm a Talmud, and I said to do it. Who are you supposed to listen to? But there's one caveat to that. Zakhtin Benis and Ibishitz, if the person, the shliach, is getting paid, then there is shlichas l'dar aveira. So if I offer to pay somebody to go do an aveira, it's my aveira, because then we don't have such a taina on the person of divrei rav, divrei talmud, mishaymin loy. Because now his mind got clouded. We don't blame him as much because he's getting paid for it. If he's doing it for free, so it's one thing. So Balak was telling Bilam, and don't worry, you have nothing to worry about. You're thinking that ein shliach l'dar aveira. So I'm the one that's making you a shliach. You're going to do the aveira, and it's not my problem. So Balak says, no, you don't have to worry. It is going to be my problem, because I'm paying you. Once I'm paying you, there is a shliach l'dar aveira, and it becomes my aveira, and it's not your problem. The Ben Yishchai says, and it says in Kapitel Chol Gimel Pasuk Tes, "Ki meroish turim erenuf, umigvois ashiren." What does it mean, meroish turim erenuf? So Ben Yishchai says that we have to understand the Yisod. Avraham Avinu was an Ukkar. B'derech HaTeva, by nature, he could not have children. He says, Vayter, Sarah Imenu was an Akara. Rivkei Menu was an Akara, and Rachel and Leah were Akaris. Who is not? Who of the Aris Akteshim and the Imoris were not? Yitzchak and Yaakov. Everyone else had a problem having children. But there, whatever they could not have. He says, why? It's because the Banshan didn't want it to be that people should say that Klal Yisrael started with Avram Avinu. But if I'm a descendant of Terach, Avram Avinu is the son of Terach. So really, Klal Yisrael starts before Avram Avinu. So by having it, making it that Avram Avinu could not have children, Bederach HaTeva, it's starting a new lineage. The lineage, that's a new lineage. Bederach HaTeva, the lineage just stops there. He cannot have children. And therefore, when he had Rishon made a nace for Avram and Sarah, Avram's father Terach and Sarah, we wanted them to be fresh starts. Rivka came from Besuel. We also didn't want. Who was not? Yitzchak and Yaakov. Why? Because Yitzchak's parents were Avram and Sarah. There's no reason for him to be an Akar. And Yaakov's parents were Yitzchak and Yitzchak and Rivka. So there's no reason. So he says that the Ben Ish Chai explains that what Bilam was trying to do, what Balak was saying, what their cheshbon was, ki meirosh tzurim eranu. You should go and say, you should curse. Kal Yisrael, you can't curse. But go curse their forefathers, Terach and Besua, go curse them. And that'll have take a hold. If you curse their fathers, then it'll get passed down to the generations. So it's up to Ben Ish Chai, but that's what the Teresh Tanya is, no. Because of what the Ben Ish Chai is explaining, that no, Avram and Sarah were the beginning. There is no Terach. Terach is not part of our lineage. Mm-hmm. Besul is not part of our lineage. Our lineage stops, it goes all the way to Avram Avinu, and there is nothing further. Besul is not part of Klal Yisrael. Right. If Besul is cursed, it has no bearing on Klal Yisrael. And that's the reason why they are cursed. They're cursed. And that was their cheshbon, which was not a good cheshbon because they didn't know about this, that was the Yisoy, that the Rebbeinu Shalom created them Akaris, and Akara, so it should be because of that. Nachal Kidum says, he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, and says in Pasuk, in Kapitel Chabez, Pasuk Chabez, Vayicha Afalekim, ki hoylechu, Vayisase Malach Hashem, Madelach HaSatan Moi. The Rebbeinu Shalom was upset at Bilam, ki hoylechu, because he was going. Pashtus, it means because he was going to curse Klal Yisrael. Zok techida, he says, beautiful. He quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim. He says, what is the lashon of ki hoylechu? So he says, it says by Esav, when they were selling, when Esav was selling the Zechayr to Yaakov, in Pashtus Peldis, Kapitul Chafei, Pasuk Lamed Beis, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Esav, hinei hanochi hoylech lamos, v'lomos eli b'chayra. Esav says, I am going to die. Hoylech lamos, I'm on the way to die. Why do I need this b'chayra? Who needs it? You can have it, Yaakov Avinu. So the lashon of hoylech means lamos, ready to die. That's what the lashon means. That's what the Chida says. He says that the Rosh Hashanah was upset. Vayicha efalekin, ki hoylechu. The reason why the Baruch Shalom was upset at Bilam, because he was ready to be meisim nefesh to curse Klal Yisrael. He was so focused that he was ready to be meisim nefesh to curse Klal Yisrael. We make a siyum. Those are making a siyum on the Maseches Erevin is finishing tomorrow. They say make a siyum. They say anu amelim behem amelim. Anu amelim kavim sa behem amelim beinim kavim sa. We toil and they toil. We toil. And we get schar, we get receive reward. They toil and they don't receive reward.
Who's they?
They. Not people that are learning. Mm-hmm. Those that do other things. That's who they is. So the question is, why do we care about they? You want to know who they are, but who cares who they are? We're toiling, we're learning the Torah, and we're getting schar. Why do we care about them? So I think the pshat is that I remember it was, there was once a guy who, a guy who I saw him, and he was sitting there, and it was a Monday morning, and the guy had tears in his eyes. And then he gets on the phone and he starts saying, I can't believe it, he let me down. And the guy was like crying. I figured out, it took me a little while to figure out, apparently he was some sports fan, he was the Giants or something, and the Giants quarterback or something was doing terrible. And he was going on and on. The guy was mamish crying. He was just so focused, and it bothered him so much. He was so busy with it. He was busy with the stats. He was busy with going to every game and watching everything. you know, you see the baseball games, you see that the lines, for the World Series, there's lines that pose these streets, people sleep over there for 3 nights, because they toil on things. So the Pshat is, Anamel v'Heim Amelon. Why are we looking at them? Why are we talking about Heim Amelon and Ein M'chab M'sar? Because you should know that they're toiling, and they're toiling for stupidities, for silliness, but, and the bottom line is, they're not getting anything out of it. But what will we learn from that? Take their amelus. Take their amelus and use it for Torah. If you use their amelus for Torah, that's how we get the schar. And that's why we focus on the unamel, the heim amel. We look at them too, because there's something to learn from them too. Perhaps that is the answer to our question of why is this parasha called Balak? And why do we focus on this whole maisa of Balak? Because even from the Rosh of Balak, we see Balak and Bilam together as a team. They were so focused. Complete focus. Bilam didn't see Balak and Bilam are a team, because Balak, we said, was the Shliach Rabbi. He sent Bilam, right. Bilam, they were a team. And Balak was the one who got there, as we said. According to the Grand Irish, even when we talk about Bilam, it's really Balak. Because Balak is a Shliach Rabbi here, because he paid him, and it's as if he did it himself. So Balak was ready, he had complete focus. The Asim was talking to Bilam, didn't matter. No matter what was going to happen, it didn't matter. Focus. And that's what we learn from here. The Amelus Patera that we have to have. The focusing on Avodas Hashem, we should learn from Balak. Other things we should learn from him, but that's something that we should learn from him. It says in the Pasuk, Kapitel Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Vav, Ayyosu Malach Hashem Avar Vayam Makam Tsar. He was standing in a very narrow place. Ashein Derech Lintay Shem in the Smol. The Bilam was trying to go with his donkey, and the Malach was standing there blocking him, and he couldn't go right or left. The Rashi says, a little bit further actually, Vayiftach Hashem Es Pi Asen, the Baruch Hashem opened up the mouth of the Asen, Atemer LeBilam Mas Yisi L'cha Ki Kisani Deshoi Shogolim. Why did you hit me 3 times? The Asen had a complaint to Bilam, he hit me 3 times.
Who?
The donkey. Bilam hit the donkey 3 times. What happened was that Bilam did not see the Malach in front of him. The Asen saw the Malach and wasn't going. He couldn't go right or left. Bilam hit the donkey 3 times to tell him to go. And the donkey responded by saying, why did you hit me 3 times? Rashi says, Zeh Sholosh Regolim Remez Loi Atem Mavakish La'akar Uma HaChagega Sholosh Regolim B'Shana. The lesson of Sholosh Regolim is you're trying to wipe out, to destroy the nation that has the Yom Tov as it goes up and it has the Sholosh Regolim B'Shana. There are 3 Yom Tov in the year, Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos. Rashi says, it's quoting a Medrash Tanchuma. The question is that what is the connection between Sholosh Regolim and hitting the donkey? But more than that, Klal Yisrael have many mitzvahs. Why is Sholosh Regolim, as he says, the Sholosh Regolim, this is a mitzvah that you have no shaykhs of destroying Klal Yisrael. Maybe, why is this mitzvah picked out from all the mitzvahs? It says in the Gur Ayye that he explains that when it talks about the 3 regalim, the 3 times, he says the first time, and it says in the Pasuk, there was, the Malach was blocking, but there was plenty of room to move. The second time, it got narrower, and the third time, there was no more room. He said, that's connected, the 3 of us, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He says that Avram Avinu had big tzaddik, Yitzchak, but he also had plenty of room to move on the sides. He had the Yishmael, Bnei Keturah, plenty of room to move on the side. He had Esav ultimately coming from him as well. Mm-hmm. Yitzchak was a little bit narrower. There was just Yaakov and Esav. He didn't have, after Esav, we don't look at that, but Yaakov and Esav, we have Yaakov and the Shvatim. But Yaakov Avinu already, it was completely closed, it was pure lineage of the Shiftei Ka, and there was nothing else. The Rav explains that the reason why Rashi come, why is Rashi even saying just Sholosh Regolim 3 times? Why is Sholosh Regolim mean 3? The Sholosh Regolim we call 3 Yom Tovim. He said because the really pasuk said just Sholosh Pa'amim. Pa'amim also means times. Why is the pasuk say just Sholosh Regolim? Because they want to teach us the connection of the Sholosh Regolim. Still don't know why the mitzvah, but why did Rashi even come to tell us that it's referring to the Sholosh Regolim? Mm-hmm. Because it should have said Sholosh Pa'amim. Chafetz Chaim says, and it says in the pasuk, "Va'akal l'cham na'orli es amazeh." He says, look what happens. Balak was mamash rasha. He was worried about himself. He was worried. He was scared. So why didn't he ask Bilam to give him a bracha? want to say is, give me a bracha that I should not be hurt. Give me a bracha that I should be menatzeach. What did he do? He says, go curse Klal Yisrael. And a person, they have such a rishus that instead of, in other words, he wasn't worrying about himself, but he was looking to hurt the other person. That was his focus. That was Balak's focus. It says in the Be'er Moshe, "Yar Balak ben Tzipa eis kol asher asa Yisrael la'amari." He saw everything that he did. What happened? It's talking about tefillah. How do we know that? It says in Bereishis, "Apitol memches." That Shechem was taken over b'charbi with a sword, b'kashti with a bow. Targum Unkel says b'tzloisi uvusi. Two different types of tefillah. There's charbi and kashti. Rabbi Limon Babasa says charbi is tefillah and kashti is bar kosher. He says, the Be'er Moshe explains, that the first thing you have to have in tefillah is sur meira. You have to turn away the things that are bad. You have to prepare yourself. You have to be get rid of the averis that you did. You have to ask the Rebbeinu Shalom to cleanse yourself. It says in Shir Hashirim, Ish charba yireicha mipachad ba'alelis. The lashon of cherev is a sword is used to ward away the sitra achar. The yitzhar. That's the first step that we have to do. After that, he says actually, quotes the Shari Ayur. The Shari Ayur says, you know what's called Psukei Dezimra? Before we daven, we have something called Psukei Dezimra. He says, Psukei Dezimra is a preparation. It means Psukim Dezimra. Dezimra can also be something that cuts. Something that cuts. He says is that you're cutting off the Averis. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to separate the Averis, Sumira, turn away from the Averis, and turn to the Mitzvahs. And then after that, you have Tefillah, which is a keshet, which is a bow. What is a bow? It says in the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, when after the keshet in the cheshes, you see, a bow of copper can be bent by my arms. He says, keshet, a bow is something that is bends easily. He says, when a person davens Hashem, he's supposed to daven with shiftless, with being very humble. Bend easily, not being tough, not being thinking that you're important. And that is the yisrael of what does Klal Yisrael have? Klal Yisrael has this koyach. Vayar Bolak ben Tzipa es Klal Yisrael l'mari. Bolak saw that Klal Yisrael had the tremendous koyach ha'atfilah. It says in the Zera Berach, the Talmud of the Megala Mukas, he says, "Vayar Bolak kitoy be'enei Hashem levorach es Yisrael lehalach kepam bepam likras nechashim." It says Bilam said that Bilam was telling, the plan was that he wanted to remind Klal Yisrael, he wanted to remind the Bnei Yisrael, okay, of the averis that Klal Yisrael did. So you're right on a certain level that they attacked the holy, but he wanted to remind them of the averis. The only thing they didn't know was that the Klal Yisrael already had a tshuva for it. Moshe Rabbeinu did the eagle, Moshe Rabbeinu davened Hashem, and they were mechaper. So the first part of Sur Meirav, turning away from the evil, that is already they had at that point. So the pshat is that Shalish Rigolim is connected to Dalit Ovis as well. The three Ovis, as we know, the three Ovis is connected to the Shalish Rigolim. As I shaped in the Torah, three Ovis, three Rigolim. Three Ovis taught us Tefillah. Shalish Rigolim showed Klal Yisrael being willing to do anything to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Klal Yisrael by the Shalish Rigolim, they left their homes and they traveled up to Eretz Yisrael. They traveled up to Yerushalayim. No matter what, they left all their properties, they left everything just to serve Hashem. Klal Yisrael and that madrega of looking at everything else as non-important except avodah to the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's when they have the koyach and that's when they can't be defeated. There was a maisa. There was a Polish town near Lvov, and there was a person there. He was the cheder rebbe. He was also a chazan. He was also a sheikhet. And one time, one of the rishonim in town trumped up some charges against him, and they took him to court, and they wanted to throw him into jail. And the judge was mocking him and calling him Mr. Butcher. What do you have to say for yourself? You slaughterer. What do you have to say for yourself? Kept on calling him and trying to give him derogatory names. And after going through a whole spiel of a kangaroo court of what he did wrong, he says, "Okay, your defense." So the yid says, "Before I say my defense, I just want to clarify one thing. The children in town call me Rabbi because I teach them. The parents know me as Rabbi too." He says, "The people in the shul in the synagogue, they know me as the chazan." He says, "The animals in town know me as the slaughterer." says that looking at the negative, Balaam was trying to focus on the negative of Klal Yisrael. Not that the Sheikh is negative, but trying to focus on something derogatory in Klal Yisrael. But if Klal Yisrael, they sumera, they do tshuva, they daven properly, then there's nothing that he can do, and the mechaper, and then there's no effect, the clause had no effect.